Welcome back, everybody. We always like to have you check us out on Facebook and where else, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Where you can find all of the information in the outdoors you want to even consider participating in, along with other links to people we've had on the show. If there's been products we've had on the show, you can check that out there as
Previous shows?
Yeah. Previous shows are there. Yep. Absolutely.
Like all of them?
All of them.
You can listen until
you're blue in the face.
Until 2024, if you start right now.
You can probably listen.
And probably longer.
A lot longer. I think it's
half-hour shows.
Is this nine years? I think it's 9 years.
Jeepers.
That's a little spooky.
You know, and I like that I've been here for seven of those.
Yeah, otherwise it was Mark.
Mark O'Connor.
Was the other one that was here. Yeah, that was fun.
Mark's had two babies in that time frame. He has gotten married and had two babies.
That's crazy.
Me too.
See?
Look at that.
It's a producer thing, I guess. Wow. This is the first time we brought that out. You know, it's those things that come out when you least expect it.
Yep. They sure do.
Speaking of the things that when you least expect it coming out, Minnesota and Wisconsin DNR have captured 323 invasive carp in the Mississippi River. And that was down in the Trumpolo Pool, which is down in Pool 6. 296 silver carp, 23 grass carp, and 4 big head carp. It's the largest single capture of invasive carp that has occurred in Minnesota to date. This was made possible by tracking tagged invasive carp, which led to agency staff and contracted commercial fishermen to net them for removal. Tagging and tracking the invasive carp by the DNR and its partners is working and leading to a successful removal of the fish in Minnesota, said invasive carp coordinator Grace Lopinow. The Wisconsin DNR crews located 6 tagged invasive carp in Pool 6 last week. Those detections, along with observations by our contracted commercial fishermen, led to the successful removal. And
successful?
Successful. You like that?
Successful.
Yeah, successful.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. I'm just concentrating on the story I'm not even thinking about what I'm saying, but that's okay. DNR crews will follow up with additional netting at the location over the next week. So what they do is they tag them. The fish go in and hang out with the herd because they are basically a major schooling fish. They hang out together and literally devastate any area where there's...
Isn't it better that they school, though? So if you find them, that you can remove
absolutely.
Them? Yeah.
That's what that's how they found this large a group. Increased reports of invasive carp and data from tagged fish indicate that the fish were moving in the Mississippi River in spring of 2023 during the extended springtime flooding. It's likely that the high water conditions allowed invasive carp and other species to move upstream past open dams, which is very not
cool.
They tend to congregate in the spring and fall, and all the previous large captures have happened in these seasons. Previous largest capture of the invasive carp was 51 of them in spring of 2020 in similar conditions that had an extended period of flooding prior to that. Other things that they're doing as well, they're using floating gill nets to entangle jumping carp. Speakers attached to the buoys to help direct carp movement through the sound, and remotely operated kayaks that can be used for surveys and herding fish.
Hmm.
That's funny. Why use a kayak? Why not use something else? Something less big.
I don't know.
You know?
Call them up and ask.
I should. I'm probably going to do that. Technologies are being tested and adapted for more extensive use. The DNR partner agencies and organizations have been testing and implementing a wide range of invasive carp prevention technologies for more than a decade, and they have been doing that a lot. The big one is the speakers. They are sound sensitive, and that's a big deal. So, yeah.
It's so weird how sound does it. You know what I mean?
Well, have you ever seen somebody drive through that? Through a large group of invasive carp? They jump out of the water, and that's when they can do.
Oh yeah,
they do all the smacked. Netting, and they put, you know, guys go on water skis with a fish with a hockey helmets, and they go net.
Oh my gosh!
Then the other one they do, they drive through it with shotguns and shoot them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All different kinds of fun and games with that.
Apparently so.
Speaking of yeah, unique things. I keep bringing it up, but I can't help it. I'm hoping somebody will do something with the flag designs for the state of Minnesota.
Okay, what's
they're not getting any better. The last one that's kind of at the forefront is from Texas, and I think it's so bad.
From
Texas?
Again,
it's just a star with a curvy line on the bottom. I don't know if it's supposed to be water or a river or something. It's horrible. Somebody please come up with some... a little more detail on something showing, you know, boating, fishing, hunting. You know, maybe they'll have to say the hunting's out. But you know what? Come up with something, really, right? Am I wrong?
You want an out. Why don't you hand in?
I am not an artiste. My art is on
the hill
and skiing, making shapes in the snow, and that's my gig.
Okay.
That's the only...
Well, I'm happy to hear that you are qualified for the flag.
You know, with friends, you guys, if you only knew, I have to deal with all the time. It's just sad. It's a sad state of affairs.
Oh, well, sometimes Eric Olson just needs reality here.
I am talking reality. I don't mind getting on a soapbox occasionally, as you know, right,
yes.
Ava? I don't mind doing it. And now is one of those times. We have the ability and the voice to motivate some people to do something that would be tremendous for the state. Hey, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Michigan, you guys, help us out. Apparently, the state of Minnesota needs all the help in the world right now coming up with a design for the state flag. Please, I'm begging you guys, come up with something. Please, something, anything other than what we have right now. I think all of us would appreciate it.
Eric can stop talking about it.
Exactly.
That's the goal here.
I'll complain about it till we change it, and that's the way
it works.
Again,
another dose of reality.
Speaking of changing it, We're going to change into a different segment when we're back from these words. Hang tight.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
So, April, sorry I went on a rant before the break. But.
Well, and then during the break, he shows me the flag that he's all worked up about, and I don't mind it. I mean, he showed it to me, and I'm like, well, it makes sense. It's a snowflake.
Over the top of a...
North Star.
A gold.
Yeah, but we were the North Stars.
And then a blue background.
And a blue background.
Okay, I could have cut that out of a piece of paper.
I don't know.
The snowflake.
It's not that bad.
I think it should be some detail that highlights the state.
He wants more detail. He doesn't want boring. That's what I've gotten, is that he wants like a crest. Okay?
I think that's cool. What things represent what Minnesota is.
Sure.
That's really what it is. And that only talks about Mother Nature in every single one of them. Water, which is the blue background, which doesn't remind me of... Anyway, I'm not going to go on. I apologize. I've already spent too much time on it. My apologies. So I'm moving on. Well, maybe for this week. report coming out of Wisconsin. You're going to want to hear this one, Ava. Are you paying attention to me?
I am.
Okay. Reports say 18% deer kill decline in Wisconsin this hunting season.
You know, it's been a rough year everywhere.
Significantly fewer deer were killed in the nine-day gun season this year than they did last year, according to preliminary data released this week by the State Department of Natural Resources. After kicking off a slow opening weekend, they had about 173,000 deer, and that was 17.6% decrease from 2022 and 11% below the state five-year average. There were probably fewer deer in the landscape than there were last year at this time, said the DNR deer specialist in a news conference. The severe winter last year diminished populations in the northern forest and across the state. Last year's gun deer season in Wisconsin was above average thanks to snow cover that made deer stand out and the lack of standing corn for them to hide. This year, hunters were met with warm temps and a lack of snow on opening weekend and called a total harvest of about 85,000 bucks and 88,000 antlerless deer on the low end of that five-year average, but not necessarily unprecedented. The decreased harvest comes despite negligible change in the number of hunters statewide. As of midnight Sunday, they'd sold about 550,000 licenses that permit hunters to kill a deer with a firearm, down only a fraction from 554. So 553 versus 554. Gun-related injuries during the season and opening weekend. I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago. This guy shot himself in the foot while walking to the tree stand. Another one shot at a dog on private property he believed was a deer. The bullet hit the lady. And she's recovered. And then a hunter in Rib Lake shot a 30-year-old man in the thigh during a deer drive. None of the injuries are fatal, which is awesome. And
thank goodness.
Yeah. So that was a good thing. Last year, there were 8 gun-related injuries, so 4 of which were self-inflicted. You know, and it's not difficult to have that. I mean, it can happen. But if you are obviously aware of what's going on at all times with that firearm, that generally won't happen. So kind of a story we've touched base on a couple times in the last couple weeks regarding deer, but just a real quick one. CWD is now detected in a buck that was shot in Wabasha.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So it's all over the place. The nice part is Minnesota, we've got a lot of volunteer. People are submitting deer voluntarily to check for CWD. And a much tighter restriction on what is transported through the state from out of state, i.e. you can't bring, I think it's the heads can't come through and you have to check that, etc. But nonetheless, it's good to see that that is going on, and hopefully not the CWD to see that, but the testing that's going on. And that's
a good
it's thing.
Good that so. People are
Hopefully Wisconsin takes note from that and starts to do that. There was another detection in Jackson County, Wisconsin. I saw that as well this week. I didn't pull the story, but Wisconsin, I think, has got to start doing some mandatory testing. We got to keep an eye on what's going on with that. But so a story that I started out with, our near and dear to us food that is just love it, no matter where it is, walleye. Or just fried fish in general, whether it's crappie or pike or whatever kind of fried fish, catfish, whatever kind of fish you like to fry. So I pulled the article. I thought it was rather interesting. Unique, because we never talk about
safe handling of food.
No. Well, how long to fry it so that it's good? I mean, it's tasty.
That it's cooked.
Because it's always a question mark. Because it's always, everybody's thinking, well, no, that's not difficult. You do it till it's flaky. Well, do you or don't you? So I thought this is kind of a neat article. This one came out of Chef Matt Whitney. He comes from the Savannah Lodge in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He was in the Sowella Technical College with his traditional Cajun roots. He fries game and creates very creative presentations. He shared a handful of fish fry fundamentals that are important. Number one, the prep. and the cleaning table. Some prefer neatly trimming from the dorsal downward and basically unzipping each fillet from the rib cage and the belly itself, while others just knock the sides off, cut out the ribs and innards, and on your way. If you catch more than you eat in one sitting, freezing fillets ensures future meals. The USDA says frozen fish or shellfish remain safe indefinitely, but for optimal flavor and texture, freeze cooked fish for up to 3 months or raw fish for up to 8 months. That's the limit. Otherwise, you can get freezer burn if you've seen that.
Yeah.
That kind of a brownish color that gets on them. Cut that away and you should be fine. Freezing fillet in water definitely eliminates those air pockets where crystals form. But once thawed, you may find waterlogged fish may take on a soggy texture. Not necessarily inedible, but this can affect frying efficiency and overall presentation. Best bet is to invest in a vacuum sealer. Options range from countertop models to handy. And I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to treat myself.
They're not that expensive, I don't think.
They're not.
No.
No. I'm going to invest in one of those for my Christmas this year. And
that's your to me from me?
Yep. To me from me. From Santa. Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, ho. How long to fry fish? This is the key piece. Pretty straightforward. Drop the fish in the hot oil until it's crispy. However, details matter. Oil choice. This is a big one. Selecting fry oil, neutral flavor, affordability, and a high smoke point. You want to have high temperature, but make sure it doesn't smoke. The latter refers to the point in which oil starts to burn, which leaves your fish with a bitter taste. So if it smokes, it's going to change the taste. Create kitchen hazards as well as other pieces and parts. You want to be at about 400 degrees in that oil. Peanut oil is ideal, and you have to consider allergies with that one as well.
Right.
People do have a peanut allergy. Thermometer, look for 350 at least. Try to keep it under 400. Outer layer, obviously you want to make sure you have the fish breading. You can do a wet batter or a dry, either one, with an egg wash, and that works as well. When is it done? He said he uses an old school method. If it's floating, it's done if you have enough oil in it. Otherwise, pan fry, that's a little different. Look for the brown color. Pan frying is 3 to 4 minutes on each side. Deep frying, 5 to 7. And depending on the size of fish that you're going, fillet that you're going to be cooking. When it's done, it should flake when broken apart.
Well,
end of
go.
Story. There you have it.
It's okay to check a piece, too.
It is.
By the way.
And then you don't have to eat while you're...
It's like checking your noodles when you're cooking your noodles.
I throw them against the wall. Is that the way to check them? All right. That's it for this week. We'll be out of here. Hope you guys have a great weekend. For the Valley Outdoors, Abe and myself, Eric, we're done. See ya.